Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sync meeting for the 18th of January, 2017. I hope you all are enjoying living in the future. Let's get started with RFCs. Number 72, Packed Structures, is ready for a vote. It looks good to me. Looks quite good. Joe says it looks good. He put a plus one. Theo, Gordon, what do you think?
I personally see no problem with it. Looks good to me.
Awesome.
Yeah, that looks good to me.
All right. Excellent. All right, it's in. Another one that looks like it's ready for a vote, but it isn't marked ready for a vote, is number 71, support streaming in the HTTP package. PD2 notes went so far as to write a complete implementation, which is all working and has back pressure and has everything. Should we mark it as ready for a vote so that people can weigh in next week since it wasn't marked, or should we merge it now? What do you guys think? How positive do you guys feel?
We should probably mark it for vote this week.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. It's been on for a little bit, so I'm just going to pop it straight to ready for a vote. It's in an extraordinarily good state because PD2 notes did a complete implementation, which took him some time, and really, I think, ironed out a lot of difficulties with the initial design. Really well done work by PD2 notes. The others aren't marked. Are there any other RFCs that you guys want to talk about, or there's none that are mark for vote, but if there's anything you want to discuss. Okay, cool. Let's go to the pull requests. All right. 1516 looks like a slam dunk. Any reason not to merge that?
Not that I know of.
Cool. Excellent. The don't double resubscribe 1509 changelog fixed is in there. I don't see any reason not to merge this. Anyone? That's a straightforward change about how the event is moved. Okay, let's merge that one. Unless any complaints? Cool. Squash and merge. Uh, 1421 has outstanding changes. It looks like it's primarily a documentation thing, but it looks like it's been languishing for a while. Do we know what we want to do with this? Oh, sorry, Joe, I'm making you type. You can just say look away or something, and we can deal with it next week if you like. 14-21. Yeah, it's definitely still missing the requested changes. We definitely should not merge it. My question is that given that it's been languishing for a while, is this something that we're eager to pick up these changes? And maybe we should ask someone else to pick up and do the work that Joe has requested. I'm not sure what we want to do with that, basically. Okay, cool. Sounds good. Joe says he's going to add a comment about, does anyone want to pick it up? Just for the future, Joe's having to type today. 1507 is no good. That's something that I put up, and it totally doesn't work. Fortunately, it's got the right response, which is now I have information to try and get this fixed, which is good because I couldn't provoke the problem. So thank you, everybody that subscribed, that responded to 1507. 1510. What in the world is failing? Gordon, do you know why 1510 is failing?
No, I'm not sure. I'll take a look at it.
Because the code looks... Oh, cannot open include file, open SSL, SSL.h. From SSL.c. That's unexpected. Ah, because previously we didn't require SSL to compile. That's what the situation is. So we required SSL to build Pony SSL packages, but not to compile the compiler. And it looks like your change is now bringing in SSL.h into SSL.c. There it is. Okay, because it's being passed the SSL context. So Gordon, I think I know why you did this. Is it because SSL context is actually platform specific, and so there isn't a way to nicely define a Pony struct that's an equivalent?
It's not my PR. I just...
Oh, I thought it was your PR. I'm so sorry.
No.
You were just commenting on it.
Yeah, I thought I had fixed it on Windows, but I see that it didn't.
I'm so sorry. That's Tommy's PR. You were just commenting on it. Never mind.
Actually, the CI build is old, so it should build on Windows now.
Ah, interesting. Okay. Let me try and restart that. Good to know. Okay, well, we will leave that for later, but thank you for letting me know. And sorry, I was asking you questions about a PR that isn't even yours. Sorry about that. Okay, are there any other PRs that people want to discuss or merge? Yeah, Joe, I just saw your text. I think it would be better to not depend on SSL headers to build Pony. Because yes, it's true that something in the standard library depends on it, but we could change that, or people could choose to use a different network package and not depend on SSL and never need SSL to build. So it would be much better to not depend on SSL. And you're right, Joe. So let's add a comment on that. In fact, I'll type what I said to poor Gordon. All right, commented. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, exactly. There's no standard way. Joe just commented that we don't have a standard way of building a shared library from C sources to accompany a Pony package. And for good reason, right? That's not a straightforward problem. Python has an approach to that. And we could look at copying what they do. I'm not too keen on that. I think it almost would be better to make it simpler to write platform-dependent structs in Pony. Because if you could express, if SSL context is platform-dependent, and that's what the problem is in terms of writing a struct in order to express it, it might be more interesting to introduce the ability to write platform-dependent structs so that you can do C compatibility stuff directly from Pony. Does that make sense to you, Joe? Yeah, cool. For posterity, I'm going to read out the things that Joe is saying. He says, yes, he thinks loading platform-dependent struct defs in Pony would be best. Yeah, I agree with that. Go takes the approach as at least it used to, I think it still does, of being able to parse C header files and building Go structs from there. That's non-trivial, and I don't know if it's actually a complete C parser or if it's just a partial C parser. But it does mean that you could, Joe says we could potentially use libclang to do that, and that is a very good point. He also says it would require depending on Clang. It would. On the other hand, since we already depend on LLVM, I feel like a libclang dependency is less weird than depending on other stuff. Joe says, yeah, not too onerous. Yeah. That's not a simple problem to do that, but it is a very interesting problem, and I think if we had the ability to point at a header and then specify by name the types that we wanted to extract and build at compile time structs to represent those types, that'd be kind of cool. If we could say include OpenSSL, SSL.h, and use SSL context, for example, possibly with some Pony friendly name if it's a type that is, you know, doesn't start with a capital letter or whatever the rules are. Excellent. Joe says he'll add an RFC request ticket to capture the idea. Cool. Excellent. Okay. We do seem to have some failing tests on some of these pull requests. What's going on here? Oh, no. I don't know. Something seems to be wrong with the Windows builds. Okay, well, that's strange. In ticket 1520, AppVeyor is failing in a strange way. I don't know if that's something you want to take a look at. But it's unfortunate. Okay. I'm a little bit babbly tonight. Sorry, everybody. Are there any other PRs people want to have a look at? I'd like to go through 1395, but I think we ought to wait for Benoit for that. Okay. I guess that's no. So issue 1513. Marked as needs discussion. Oh, wow. Good digging. I'm not sure what there is to discuss on that issue, other than it's definitely a bug, and Omar J has done a really good job tracking it down. For 1496. Okay, we've got all the stuff in there. Okay, let's have a look at number 1437, which is the PDB is not found. Is this just a question of needing to include the PDB in the Windows build?
Yeah, I think the new build system might fix this because I haven't seen those errors when I run from the new Windows packages.
Ah, cool. Can you add a note on that ticket and see if we can get a response from the original poster?
Okay, I'll do that.
And I'll turn off the needs discussion ticket, needs discussion, because it sounds like the awesome new WAFness may have fixed this. That's cool. The other one is I need to deal with setting up a GPG key. I'm not totally convinced that I should own the GPG key for signing. It seems like it would be better if somehow everyone on the core team could be owners of this signing key, the GPG signing key. I would not like that to be only in my possession. Maybe I'm misunderstanding how this works. I mean, we're going to need to, if we have a signing key, it's got to be somewhere to do the signing anyway. Okay, maybe I'll just talk to Sean about this when I get a chance. Does that make sense? Sort of my general worry. I don't want to be the only person with a signing key. I think that would be bad. Okay. Are there any other issues that we should cover? It's been a pretty quick one so far. Anybody? Bueller? Okay, cool. I will talk a little bit about some of the performance and scalability optimizations that Sean and some people at Sendence have been working on. I was talking about them a little bit before the call, but I'll talk about a little bit about them here. Probably the most important one is changes to the hash map, the internal hash map. So in hash.c and hash.h, there's the macros that build the type-specific hash maps. And it, one of the things that it doesn't do is self-compact. And there's an interesting situation you can get into where in a garbage collection hash map, theoretically in any hash map, but it occurs in a garbage collection hash map, you get enough deleted entries that the search function starts to look linear on the size of the hash map rather than the number of entries. So if it grew to something large and you're down to very few entries, you can get terrible behavior where you should get fantastic behavior. And Dipen Hora has been working on modifications to make that problem go away, and they seem to work great. So hopefully we'll get those in a PR pretty soon. It's really cool. I hope I'm not spilling the beans too early on this, but it's awesome. The other side of it is you can see from the PR that Sean put in, number 1521, which is revert to pre-ticketing MPMCQ pop algo. So this is going back to the double word compare and swap that I had in originally instead of Benoit's ticketing algorithm. And the performance difference has been profound, which is interesting. So it's, as usual with this stuff, it's hard to speculate as to exactly what all of the causes are. But I suspect the core problem is that everything hammers a single integer with a fetch and add and then waits. And that hammer can be problematic, and then the wait can be problematic compared to the double word compare and swap, where there's a fast bailout. There's always a fast bailout for an empty queue, and there's you're not hammering an integer and waiting, but you are hammering the queue, but bailing out on null. So there's a new null bailout every single time you come through and check, so that if someone else has emptied the queue, you bail out fast, which the hack to, good hack, but still hack to check for null before starting the ticketing algorithm doesn't get you that, right? And there's no, once you've gone for a ticket, there's no way out. You can't say, oh, never mind, I want out of here, which the double word compare and swap lets you out. And I suspect, and this is without testing, so nobody should believe me, that's the core of why it's so much faster. This only really shows up at scale. So, you know, there you go. That's the trouble with crazy atomic algorithms. But what this does mean is we'll probably want to roll back for now to the double word compare and swap and the pool allocator as well. I'm going to be building a version that instead of having per size MPMCQs for the pool allocator, there will be per thread MPSCQs for the pool allocator. And what that's going to get us is, first of all, fewer queues, unless you have a lot of processors, in which case it's still more efficient to have the extra queues, faster queues, and it means that the thread that allocates a subpage, thanks, Joe. There's a PR Joe wants to talk about. The thread that allocates a subpage will always be collecting the elements of the subpage until it could then deallocate the subpage, which means we're going to be able to do coalescing, which will be really cool. All right, so that's enough babbling about queues. Joe wants to talk about 1480, which is cool. Why can't I find 1480? Maybe it's not open. There we go. Adaptive per actor scheduler batch sizes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, actually, I asked Sean. So Joe asks if is there any more information that can be shared about the issues with it. So Sean and I have been talking about this a lot in working on it. This fell out of work on back pressure stuff that Sean is doing. And it seemed like adaptive cues were going to improve responsiveness. But it turns out there are situations where that the batch size goes up and that batch size is being set up for an actor, right? And so the batch size of a given actor creeps up and it starts dominating the scheduler because it's taking many more turns than other actors. And it actually makes responsiveness and latency worse. Does that make sense, Joe? Okay, cool. And so it's not to say that adaptive batches are bad. It's that if we're going to have them, they need to regress to the mean. So it should be, look, for a while, maybe I want to dominate the scheduler a bit more than other actors, but I need to regress back to the mean in some useful way, right, that requires lots of scalability testing. All right, cool. All right. Anyone else have stuff they want to go over? Anyone? Bueller? All right, cool. I'm sorry Sean wasn't here to go over some of this stuff because he's been deep in the runtime. Deep in the runtime and has learned many awesome things. Particularly on EPOL. And hash maps, which we covered, and stuff like that. If you ever want a long discussion about edge triggering, level triggering, and one-shot events, Sean will be able to provide one, and it's extremely enlightening. All right, cool. I guess if that's all there is, then we'll have a relatively short one this week. Thank you, everybody, for coming, and see you next week.